Yeah, we were talking to our legal team about what options we have, because honestly, Ecstasy sounds really close to Love No More. We had a musicologist look at it, so...
Whoa.
DJ, press play. Get ready for the cease and desist, motherfucker.
Introducing today's guests on the Friday Beers podcast. A pair of musical geniuses hailing from...
Toronto.
And Canada. According to FamousBirthdays.com, they're the 26th most popular music group formed in 2012.
Oh, nice.
Yes, that's a real list they provide. They're ranked right behind Fifth Harmony and Magic. These sonic savants began their careers when they met at prestigious Western University, whose notable alumni include Nobel laureates, Rhodes Scholars, and now a couple of DJs. They've amassed well over a billion streams on Spotify. They play to sold-out crowds around the world, and one of them even has... One day they hope to collaborate with Nickelback. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Andrew and Joe of the global EDM sensation, Loud Luxury.
Wow.
Wow. What the intro.
Juiced up. Welcome.
I couldn't think of a better introduction.
You guys feel hyped?
I'm elated right now.
It's a tone setter.
That was electric.
Yeah.
How do you feel about the Famous Birthdays ranking?
I'm not mad at it. 2012 was a big year, right?
Huge year. Fifth Harmony. I'll be behind that for sure.
Yeah.
Max has been going into his bag with the Famous Birthdays.
It's crazy.
People.
The obscure popularity list they have are like insane.
Yeah.
There's like Sagittarius. Sagittarius named Andrew, you're like eighth.
Wow.
Yeah. Crazy, yeah. There's seven, yeah, more Sagittarius, yeah,
named Andrew. My birthday's actually wrong on Famous Birthdays. I don't know where they got it from, but it's the wrong year.
Well, maybe. These guys clearly don't do their homework.
Not like Friday
Beers. Where are they finding these facts?
Not as thorough as I
honestly
thought.
Honestly, you guys are pretty thorough.
All right. Well, welcome and thank you. Welcome to the Friday Beers podcast.
Thank you for having us.
You guys, we're psyched that you're here. My name's Jack. I'm here with my brother Max, and we're here with our friend Gary.
Hey, guys.
We collectively are pleased to welcome Andrew Fedick and Joe DePace of Loud Luxury. Thank you guys for being here.
Thank you so much for having us. We've been big fans of everything you guys have done.
It's a mutual fandom.
We can
get right into a mutual jerk off right here.
It's the perfect room for it.
Yeah. So we're also drinking beers. Why don't you grab one? We're supposed to get guys Molsons.
Okay.
We couldn't find Molsons, and we definitely couldn't find Molson cold shots.
Oh, man.
But we were very curious about these.
That is a throwback.
Yeah, we're curious.
Can you tell us a little
bit
about what those are?
Those things ruined my life for about a year. Because
they must be good, then.
Oh, when they came out, they're basically like these like tiny, tiny little drinks. Like, you literally just made to shotgun them. Like, that's the only purpose of them, is to shotgun them.
It's a brilliant product.
So they're like, they come in a pack of six.
Yeah, the best way to explain it is take a Red Bull can, and they make it, I think, 8%. And they call it Molson Cold Shots, like we were talking.
That is awesome.
And they come
less, but more.
And they even come in packs of four. And I think the reason for that is just the target demo was just broke college kids that want to get wasted. Like, it was our equivalent of the Four Loko.
Let us explain to you a little 9%? Bit about what the Friday Beers podcast is all about, because it's a little different. You probably never heard of this before. It's a crowdsourced podcast.
That's fire.
And we like to say that at Friday Beers, we have the beers, we have the celebrities, you have the questions. So the questions will be not from us, we'll be asking them on the audience behalf. It's a very innovative format.
Ever heard of something so revolutionary? Yeah. We're going to coin it Q&A.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
So the first question.
Joe and Andrew, like an interview.
No. This is unique. We created this.
It's kind of the DJ set of interviews, you know, changing songs quickly.
Taking requests. Although, you guys probably don't do requests.
Pressing play on buttons over here?
In a way.
I just press play.
We're the press play version of podcast askers. Yeah. If you know, Friday Beers, we're always trying to find shortcuts for things.
best way to live.
Work smart, not hard, right?
Exactly. All right. So we go to the questions. At Chase It Down. Okay. This guy's asking about the famousbirthdays.com ranking. Did you agree with it?
Yeah.
21st, yeah, okay.
No, this ranking is different.
Oh, it's a different one? This is 21st most popular electronic duo.
21st?
Yeah.
What, in Canada?
I think this is overall.
I think this is overall.
In the world.
Yeah.
I'll take it.
That's pretty good, dude.
I don't agree with it, respectfully.
Respectfully to you?
I would just say at least top 15. Mm. You know, like there's probably six people we can whittle down from there.
I appreciate that. I love that. Pushback.
Yeah.
Let's whittle them off right now. Do we have less?
Joe was locking in 21. No
I was hesitation. Like, all right, I'll take it. I mean, I could think of like 21 people right now that I'm like, oh, shit.
But duos.
Oh, duos.
That's what I'm saying.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's bet on you guys being higher than 21 for duos.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Also, we should have the famousbirthdays.com people on the podcast.
We should.
Go through their method.
And ask them where they're getting their information.
Their algorithm.
They also say Joe is the number 9 most popular DJ born in Canada. Andrew's number 12.
Fair enough.
I was born a little bit before him, so like a little bit of time, you know?
He's got a 4-year heads up on me.
He's got the experience.
Can you guys factor. You guys can bear the hatchet on that though? You're cool with 9 and 12?
I mean, I definitely
What if he comes out to the next performance, he's got a number 9 jersey?
He's like, yo, do you want to wear these?
That's fire. Thank you for that. Thank you for that idea.
We should definitely get the famous birthdays guy in here to figure out his calculations.
Yeah. His algorithm.
Yeah, we should talk to him about his algorithm.
There's a lot of questions.
Yeah.
Well, Max has spent about 80 hours on that website this week alone. So.
Yeah, I've almost cracked it.
All right, let's get back to the audience, ask questions. Well, that was a great tangent from the DJ rankings there. At Joe Erotic. Great name. Okay. I asked, you guys have played around the world at some of the biggest festivals. Tomorrowland, EDC, Lollapalooza. My question is, how much money do you make per show?
is that guy like 14?
Pre-tax.
$1 million.
Damn, that's sick.
Did you have a show where your agent or your manager brought it to you and they're like, you're going to get paid this much for the show? And you're like, holy fuck,
yes,
this is a different ball
game. It's kind of like a benchmark every time. Like, and this actually... I thought of this for today for the interview is I remember one time our managers, and this was like early, like right after Body came out.
Yeah.
They were like, you guys are getting paid $10,000 to play this festival in Kingston. And we were like, oh my God, that's
nothing
so much money.
Nothing could seem bigger than
like,
that.
Like, oh my God, that's so much money. Like, yeah. Yes.
Kingston,
like,
Jamaica. We
Kingston,
should
Jamaica.
Oh, I thought that was in Ontario.
Not in Ontario. No. Yeah. And yeah, so we did the festival in Kingston and we got like a nice little mini vacation of it. But it was so funny because the festival, it like, basically they were like 6 hours behind. So the organizer comes up to me and he runs up to me. He's like, where's your buddy? Go find him. You're on it 3 minutes. You're only playing for 15 minutes. He's like, there's gunshots across the way. He's like, just go now. You're only playing for 15 minutes. And like basically just like went up. I waved a flag for 10 minutes. Like Andrew's DJing. And then we stopped. And then we're like, okay, this is it. We're like, bye.
We had a 10 grand 15, later. Yeah. 15 minute slot. That's it.
15 minutes. That's all we played.
Shut it down.
We played literally every single song that we had. We were like, how do we mix all these in? Because at the time we were like thinking we still had to like play a lot of songs and like, you know,
yeah,
gunshots in the background.
Yeah, and then we asked them. We're like, so how do we get back to the hotel? Like, you know, it's done. Thank you. And they're like, oh, my boy will drive you. And we look over and it's this dude that's literally been drinking white rum the entire night with sunglasses.
He had sunglasses.
And we're like, oh, no.
Wait, I think we were drinking moonshine with him earlier. Yeah. I'm pretty sure.
Like the strongest white rum possible.
No, it
moonshine guy?
No, it burnt. It burnt. Like I was like burnt for a day in my esophagus from the alcohol.
Yeah, that's a designated driver in Kingston.
Yeah, but we had no other way back. So
white sunglasses keeps his eyes on the road.
10 out of 10 would go back. Yeah, it's 10 out of 10 would go back.
Let's go to at Quiet Necessity 45.
Nice.
They ask, levels or levels in reverse?
Levels in reverse.
Wow. Yeah.
Oh, wow. Because just when people got sick of levels, we put it in reverse, and that shit ran.
And then not to mention, you can just go forward and then you get to hear the song again.
It's so true.
Well, levels in reverse in reverse.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah.
Were you guys in school when that dropped?
Oh yeah.
That dude almost had a career off just putting a song in reverse. Yeah. 2012 was such a weird time.
Yeah. Who made that?
His name was George Monev, and then he did a follow up where he dropped another big song in reverse that just flopped. That was his career.
Shout out George. I do remember when Levels came out, I was a freshman in college. I'd never like I felt anything like it. Like the visceral reaction to that sound. I was like, what?
You guys are big Avicii fans.
Huge. Bromance was like my fraternity's like anthem for an entire year.
Yeah. You brought up a good point in terms of just the way that when Levels dropped, it felt like you'd never heard a song that brought people together like this. Right. And we were already into dance music, you know, very passionate from a young age, but that kind of put it over the edge to see so many people just like be able to tribal. Yeah. Connect. Yeah. It was tribal.
He's completely goated. Like we, that's how kind of we started, was just like trying to recreate his songs and then like figure out what the hell he was
and
doing.
How fucking hard is it to make, one has made a song like
that. At that time it was like so hard because we were like, what is this guy? He's like a genius.
R.I.P.
Yeah.
Legend. Yep. Go.
I'll take a drink for that.
Yeah, here we Cheers. Go. Cheers to Avicii. Okay.
Yep.
All right.
Hell yeah.
All right, let's get back to audience-based questions. At Max Mortimer says, in We Are Your Friends, Zac Efron says, there's a popular myth that 128 BPM synergizes with your heartbeat. What's your favorite BPM?
Zach wasn't wrong. He wasn't
that's right.
I mean, to perform live, Zach was right.
You lock in with the BPM.
You lock in 128 and you just stay there and write it.
Set it and forget it.
To make music, we hover around the 121.
Ooh. When you're playing live,
but for raging,
crank it up a bit?
You crank it.
Interesting, dude.
So 128 is a sweet spot.
121
is the foreplay.
Okay.
Yes.
This existed before even dance music. You know, there was a reason. It always worked.
Yeah.
Right.
We're talking back from the inception of music.
Wow. So inception of music.
Zac Efron.
Is Beethoven cranking 128 BPM?
Well, they didn't really properly have metronome. Yeah. So if you hear all their stuff, just kind of goes on its own.
And they
tangent,
didn't rage.
Right? They did not. Actually, Beethoven probably raged.
Yeah. Oh, he partied for sure.
In his own way.
Can you imagine like going through a breakup at that time and hearing Moonlight Sonata?
And just it curing your soul.
Yeah.
Riding on your carriage.
He was the modern day Olivia Rodrigo.
Yeah.
Just doing blow to like the Nutcracker soundtrack. All right. So we got at Munder Difflin 88. Why are some of America's most popular entertainers Canadian? Ryan Gosling, Ryan Reynolds, Seth Rogen, Jim Carrey, Mike Myers, Drake, Rob Ford, R.I.P.
Definitely an entertainer.
He was a goat. He was a goat.
He really was.
I saw an amazing clip of him. It was from an old press conference, and he was just like, I think he was like, this guy accused me of like, you know, suggesting I wanted to eat this woman's pussy, but I get enough of it at home.
Yeah.
Like, to the press.
And then he walks off and he goes, go Argonauts.
That man was just pure unfiltered like
entertainment.
Just
Why are American entertainers all Canadian?
Including
you guys.
I mean, I guess there's just something in
Bieber wasn't even on that list.
Yeah, that's kind of messed up. And Shawn Mendes
not on that list.
There's The Weeknd.
The Weeknd.
Chad Kroger. Fuck, I'm sorry.
Chad
like
Kroger,
the goat, the goat of the goat.
Yeah.
So,
there's something in the poutine up there.
There is something in the poutine
or
up
the
there
Labatt.
That
Dan Aykroyd.
Oh yeah! Wow.
Yeah, that's right.
So, the list goes on.
I got a theory, in all honesty.
Yeah. What's
it hit us?
It just comes down to the fact that when you share a common identity with someone, you want to help them. And the problem is, because most mass media is American, you don't really feel a shared identity with Americans. It's like, yeah, no shit, they're American, right? But when you're Canadian, you feel an extra sensitivity like that person's Canadian. I need to support them. I want to help them.
I buy into that.
Wow.
Yeah.
I like
Lorne Michaels is making all these Canadian comedians like part of the family when he brings
that's
them down.
Stuff.
Well,
that's
because of Second City as well. They were all from the same circuit where they supported each other, and they were all in that. And then it was kind of like
a pipeline. But no wonder why they're so huge.
The music thing is pretty crazy as well.
Jack and I have a Canadian mafia theory.
What's that? Yeah. Oh, I love this.
That there's a Canadian mafia entity, a cartel, if you will, that silently backs and promotes all the Canadian superstar musicians.
Any credence to that?
I mean,
it's like a cabal of like nefarious. Like
we can't talk about this. We gotta cut this now.
Let me just tell you, if so, watch out.
Okay, we'll be on our toes, dude. We don't want to be the guys who break this story and never hear from us again.
Yeah, I'm nervous after this gets published.
But it is fucking crazy.
You'll be sleeping with the cheese curds.
All right, here we go. At Palm Tree Breeze 18.
Nice, that's a good name.
Canadian Mary Fuck Kill. Never Say Never Bieber. Purpose Bieber. Justice Bieber.
Okay, Mary Never Say Never.
Innocence. He was innocent.
Yeah. And just like good music.
Yeah.
Good clean music.
One less lonely girl.
Yeah. Fire. It still slaps.
You know your Biebs history. Okay. So Mary Never Say Never Biebs, and then there's Purpose Biebs and Justice.
You'd
Biebs.
Have to fuck Purpose Biebs for sure, because honestly that's 10 out of 10 Bieber. That's like I think his peak.
Yeah.
Wow.
Looks wise.
Prime time.
Justice, Justice were fans, but it's just getting that category out of default.
It's just newer, you know? It hasn't had the time to marinate, for lack of a better word.
Yeah.
Like I feel more strongly about Take Care than I do Certified Lover Boy. It's just time.
Yeah.
Right.
We're killing that just solely out of default.
Those are really good answers.
Yeah. And that was good teamwork also.
Good tag team. All right. We'll go to @MayorWillSteep33. This is a great question. One song to save the pregame. What do you play?
Not one of your songs.
No. Yeah, oh not, man, not we weren't song. Gonna we weren't gonna toot our own horn.
I'm gonna
we're
say
Canadian.
I'm gonna say Levels. Let's bring it back to the beginning. Full circle moment. Levels.
Levels. Yeah.
Yeah. Guaranteed.
Can't be Levels.
Why can't it be
too,
Levels?
Too easy. Too easy.
Okay. That's what easy. What is the pregame though? Yeah. Are we talking like is it like a bunch
12,
of
12 dudes in a two bedroom apartment?
It's a high stakes pregame. Like 12, something stakes? Is on the line.
Western University.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. What year?
2010. It was.
2010. Wow. Yeah.
Hmm. I wasn't at Western yet, but if it was 2011, it would have been Levels. 2012, it would have been Call Me Maybe.
Mm.
Good call.
That's
2013, it would have been Shake It Off. 2014, it would have been Bobby Shmurda.
Wow, yeah. Look at this.
No, just from DJing.
Yeah, I
would honestly say Bobby Shmurda.
Oh, so these were your go-tos. So
like, that Bobby Shmurda song, I've never seen anything like it. You play that at midnight.
Two years ago, Mo Bamba.
Yeah.
At Clark Ride 91 asks, how'd you guys meet and start making music together? Oh, this is like when you got answered a million times, but you can go ahead.
So I was the president of the DJ club at Western.
President.
Yeah. Mr. President. El Presidente to you, actually.
Yeah, okay.
I remember that night, my guy who was my right hand did a very terrible job, and he was supposed to book a room for our first meeting. The room fell through, so we had to have the meeting at my house. So I had like 25 dudes over in my living room. And
perfect night.
And right as the media literally just like in my living room, like sweet, great.
Yeah.
And then there was a storm, and as soon as the meeting started, all the power went out of my house. I'm like, oh my God, this is the worst. And then afterwards, I remember just like talking to people randomly, and then I talked to Andrew, and he was like one of the only people that was like, oh, I make music.
Are you on good terms with this right hand man who fell through?
Yeah.
He's still trying.
I mean, hey, if it wasn't for him, we wouldn't be here.
This wouldn't be
Let's
happening.
Go, baby.
At first, I thought you were going to say the power went off, and Andrew was the electrician who came over.
He came over like the cable guy.
This was in the great DJ bubble of 2011, where everyone wanted to become a DJ.
Yeah.
So, you know, there was a lot of friends in this club, but none of them actually made music. They just wanted to become a DJ.
Yes,
A big reason why we got so into it was because we were like, man, we're at this crazy party school, and there's shows every weekend. There's amazing bar nights every weekend. We want to put it on the map. Like, that was a big motivation for us when we were doing it.
Yeah.
The same way that, you know, someone like Drake's like, I just wanted to put Toronto on the map.
Yeah.
For us, it was just like, dude, Western's the sickest school, and we just want to show people what it's like, and our music reflects that energy.
You are a reflection of, like, the culture of your... of the college. You
would 100%.
Say. And Gary and I went to Georgetown.
Yeah.
Whenever we tell people that
the Hoyas
were part of Friday Bears, and they're like, where'd you go to school? Must have been sick. We went to Georgetown. They're like, oh, that's lame.
It's You're totally right about us being a reflection of that. And I think the one thing that makes Loud Luxury special is the fact that, yes, although we went to a school that is pretty homogenous, for lack of a better word, and very bro-y, what makes Canada special is because, like, I grew up in a city that's so multicultural, you know, like built by immigrants, driven by immigrants, and you're just exposed to so much culture beyond just like white guys bumping Sweet Caroline that you take
that
makes
close
the music
here.
So much better. It makes a ton of sense, dude. Like, that I think that is part of the reason why Toronto, as you said, is like a cultural powerhouse.
Yeah.
Like,
big time.
Amidst like every other city.
Big
it's just a melding of cultures.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like, you're listening to everything when you grow up, because on the radio they'll play dance hall, they'll play Euro dance, you know, like it's all driven by immigrants and the different cultures that they bring.
Yeah, our whole shtick is saying best country in the world, but you've never even left the town that you grew up in. USA! USA! Rock flag and eagle! So you guys did sleep in the same bed when you moved to LA?
Correct.
The rumors are true.
Correct.
Same bed.
What size bed?
King.
And then the room was too small to have like two beds.
So it sounds more like a closet.
Yeah.
It was pretty small. It was actually inhabited by Charles Manson in the 1950s.
Come on.
Yeah. I swear to God, literally, we were coming back from a hike, and this like sweet like old lady that was our neighbor was like, "Hey boys," she's like, "Guess what?" We're like, "What?" And she's like, "Your apartment. It was Charles Manson's apartment." We're like, "Firstly, how do you know that?" And then, surely enough, we like Google the exact unit, and it was like Charles Manson lived here. He shot his drug dealer across the street and went, and that's how he actually went to jail. And he was like running a prostitution ring disguised as a media company. And we were just like, Wow, that's kind
of
crazy.
Sounds like Friday beers. She could have been one of the Manson girls.
Hell of an apartment.
You're flexing on girls at a bar in LA. Yeah, I'm living in Manson's old pad.
There was no flexing.
You want to get wacky later?
No, there was absolutely no flexing.
Talk about this, Andrew, because I want to know what the protocol was if you were going to try to bring somebody.
Some girls would be into that.
You're at the bar with a girl.
Yeah.
Right? And so what do you do? Yeah, I'm a DJ. Oh, that's really cool, right? Yeah. You don't even want to be like, hey, come back to mine. Like, I'm a DJ, but I sleep in the same bed as my DJ partner. And my apartment used to be occupied by Charles Manson. And it's at the worst possible intersection in Hollywood.
It's
literally
like
three strikes, you're out.
Like,
you're done.
Hollywood and Highland is like the gateway to hell.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Legitimately. Yeah. I
so loud.
It is a psychotic area.
And now for something completely different.
What I had a question about body. Like, at what point in the making of it were you like, we got a fucking banger?
We always felt really good about it. Like, I remember working on it and just kind of having this feeling like, man, this feels awesome. Like, I'm really excited for people to hear it. But the idea of having any expectations of a song like that, especially when you're a no name, is kind of, it'd be a bit delusional, for lack of a better word, you know?
Or
like, we're not some big DJ, you know? Yeah. We're like just unknown. Yeah. So we're like, we have no idea what's going to happen. Yeah. I remember we talked to our manager and we're like, yeah, man, we'd all be stoked if it got like 30 million streams. That would be awesome. Like, I feel like it's going to be our best song yet, but who the hell knows?
Right. What's that, 900 million now?
Something
almost
like that.
Yeah.
So sick.
Yeah. Let's get it to a million.
I'm fascinated by like the practical outcomes of a success like that. Like, how, or is there a story or example you give like how your life changed because of a massive success? Like
I mean, well, yes. For instance, we were sharing a bed.
Got another apartment.
We were sharing a bed. And then we weren't sharing a bed.
So that's a very practical
example. That was like monumental.
You,
that was
do
like,
you attribute
oh my God.
That to body?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. For sure.
I mean, it's not just all about that, but at the end of the day, everything is so weirdly hit driven. A hit's like a springboard for you to introduce yourself to everyone.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, show them more music, build a following, like, do anything. You know, it all just starts with, like, what's that conversation piece? And a big song is the best one.
I guess the real question is, are you guys tired of body?
No, never.
Oh, it did so much for us, you know.
Never.
It would
be, but when you play it, are you like,
no, it. What do you mean? It's like the best feeling ever, having like an entire like 50,000 people be like,
it.
Yeah. It's like, oh yeah, let's go. Like, comes on, and it's so funny because we do this thing where we like kind of tease it, and like it's like it comes in slowly, so it's
nice.
Not like here's body, like so we kind of let people clue in, and then as soon as they hear it, they're like,
here it goes.
You tease them a little
slow
bit.
Slow ride of the roller coaster.
Yeah. I love to tease. Yeah.
At Palm Tree, Pete asks, "Who's the coolest person to slide in your DMs?"
The coolest person to slide in our DMs. Actually,
my personal most excited you've got.
My personal
you got an answer.
My personal favorite is Andy King, who you guys have a picture on of your wall from Firefest.
Yeah.
For those that don't know, the guy that said he would do some dirty things for water.
And I got to his office fully prepared to suck his dick.
Yeah.
He was just trying to get that festival.
He was a fucking team player. The highest order.
Yeah. I never thought he would even heard of us because he's older. I think that's what made it so funny is because, you know, he's in his probably 50s, maybe 60s by now. And he hosted a festival that we did. And then right after, slid in our DMs, was like, by the way, loved your set. You guys are awesome. Like, we need to hang soon. And then DMs.
We're like, let's collab immediately. I don't even give a shit what it is, but let's collab.
Yeah. Dude, content with him would be fire.
Yeah, DMs us every time a song is out. Like, love that one. Like, let's hang soon.
He's an absolute legend.
That guy is an absolute.
No, we haven't yet. No,
long overdue.
We got to do a sketch with you guys.
Meeting him.
I'm so down for that.
Yeah.
With Joe. I feel like you had someone.
A funny one is Lil Nas X. He DM'd us just saying, yo. And then we were like,
never heard from him since.
we're like, what's up, my guy? And then I saw him out recently. I was like, hey, man. I was like, how's it going? And he was like, oh, it's you. And I'm like, yeah, you DM'd us. And he was like, cool. He's like, you guys are fucking awesome. He's like, let's do something. And I was like, for sure.
That would be a huge collab.
Yeah. He's great. I love what he's doing. I've
be
always
really
been a
cool.
big fan.
Yeah.
Always been a big
fan. Other honorable mentions, you know, because we're from Canada and EDM, dance music, whatever you want to call it, is of course really popular with hockey players.
Yeah.
We built a great relationship with a lot of hockey players in the NHL.
Nice.
Very close with a bunch.
Yeah.
Another of our big supporters, ironically, or actually not really surprisingly, is the Jersey Shore cast.
Nice,
oh my
dude.
God.
Yeah. Jay WoW.
That was
JWoww is the homie.
It's so funny meeting them because like we like kind of like grew up in college, like whatever, like huge fans, and then the way that they met us was being like, we're such huge fans of you. And like, and like, it's literally like, little do you know, we love you. And like the first time we met JWoww, she like was at her show and I sat next to her and they like wanted to meet us or whatever. And I'm just like, Jenny, I'm like, we're doing a shot of tequila right now. She's like, no, honey, I can't. Like, I'm a mother now. Da da da. She's like, I don't really party. I'm like, no, Jenny, we're doing a tequila shot right now. And then she's like, okay, all right. And then we did a tequila shot. And then ever since then, we've been like the homies. Like she like just comments on everything, and like we like try to meet up.
I mean, that's like catching a touchdown pass from Tom Brady.
Oh, yeah. They're legends.
DJ Pauly D too.
Yeah, he supported Body. Like he played Body in a shit.
So
ton
he's
of
not
design.
Rivalrous to you. Yeah.
No. We haven't met him yet, but like huge fans, love them all. They are the familia.
Yeah. Say what you want about Jersey Shore, but that put dance music on the map. And so the problem for us when we were younger is like you'd be the only friend in your friend group that actually liked dance music.
Yeah.
And then Jersey Shore came out and then suddenly everyone liked dance music. So it was like, okay, we actually now have an audience for what we're so passionate about. Yeah. So we owe them our shirts for that. You know, that really changed things culturally.
They changed a lot of things culturally, that show.
They are welcome at a loud luxury show anytime. Yeah.
They changed the paradigm for a lot of people.
The radius of their impact was wide.
And you guys are tight with the Spin Chicklets guys, right?
Yeah.
I remember I was listening to a podcast where you like took Mike Grinnell like on a private jet.
Oh my
Vegas.
God, that was the highlight of his life.
He said he had sex with a girl in the bathroom of the airplane.
He did.
Yeah,
confirmed. Wow. Confirmed.
Yeah.
We gave him the experience of a lifetime.
Yeah, I won't get into too much detail, but we were all hanging out in New York the night before. We played a show in New York and then had to take a jet to Vegas in order to make the Vegas show.
Yeah.
And we were just all drinking. We're like, you won't send it. And he's like, actually, I will. Do you mind if I bring a girl? And I had my girlfriend at the time as well. And we were like, yeah, there's tons of space. And then we're like, yo, we have this jet all to ourselves. Like,
it was pretty hectic.
You got to check off the bucket list here.
Our podcast producer is not going to have that experience after this podcast.
Is it really Mile High if it's not? I feel like it has to be kind of spur of the moment on the plane.
No.
No, it counts.
You can just bring someone.
Come on. It counts. Yeah. That counts.
Where are these rules coming
from? I mean, that's kind of like a cheat code.
The guys at Famous Birthdays make up these rules.
Yeah.
That's kind of the...
That's like a cheat code, but it still counts.
The craziest part about that, though, was the flight attendant was encouraging it and actually made fake Mile High Club stickers with Post-its.
Stop it.
And wrote down the exact altitude.
No way.
So like a little trophy you could
have?
Yeah,
I believe it was a lot higher than a mile.
She was literally the most lit flight attendant I've ever seen. She was singing like Lady Gaga. She was singing, what was it? A Shallow.
Yeah.
She was doing her own rendition of Shallow and like firing up champagne. And would spill it everywhere. We're like, wow.
I mean, that's sort of an amazing gig. Like you're the flight attendant who flies like artists and celebrities from New York to Vegas.
Yeah, it's not a bad
life. Isn't that profession like I'm going to be simple, the horniest profession on the planet? Like I'm pretty sure I read somewhere that like pilots and flight attendants have like the most.
Oh, I would totally buy that.
Oh, yeah. Most experience under their belt, for lack of a better word.
Yeah. And they like to sample local fare.
You're in a new city, you meet someone every,
At Mitch Wolfgang, _Wolfgang, has a great question. The question is, which DJ has the craziest rider? If you don't know that for sure, I want to hear what your guys'
Adventure Club
is.
Has a really funny rider.
And they want magic cards.
Yeah. Because they're trying to collect
like Magic the Gathering?
Yeah, so they're trying to collect a super rare one. So the idea is one day they'll get it. I can't remember how much it costs, but it's got to be a couple $100,000.
That's so weird.
The idea is one day, one show, they'll get it. And then whichever show they get it at, they'll play a free show there next time.
Right, because I mean, they're paying
for
their
whole asking for packs of like, a couple packs of Magic.
Yeah, it's on the rider.
I don't really know anybody that has like an obscene rider that's like just crazy, but I mean, we can talk about ours.
Yeah, what's in your rider?
So we try to keep it like pretty fair. Some green juices, tequila, vodka, some beer.
Right.
Gotta have beer.
What kind? Any preference?
I mean, any beer?
Molson. Yeah. Usually ask for Molson cold ones.
I like Stella. Stella's a good favorite. And then we have one item in particular that we are usually pretty pressed about. It's a life-size cutout of Chad Kroger.
That was a question in here, too.
Life-size cutout of Chad Kroger before he got his haircut.
That's gotta be hard.
Which is impossible to find.
You can only find it.
Publicist has scrubbed that ramen hair from the
You can only find it allegedly through a source in Australia. So
how many people have gotten you?
A good amount, but typically if they can't get it, what they'll do is like make a Chad Kroger shrine in the green room.
Nice. Yeah, they'll literally take like 10 8x11 pictures of him and just slap it all against the wall. Yeah. It's really funny how creative people.
You gotta appreciate
you're
the
real
effort.
Kroger OGs, like you.
Yeah, that's the boys. Yeah.
No
yeah.
joke.
Well, the whole nice. The whole idea respect. Is just like taking a piece of Canada with us wherever we go.
Yeah.
And what's more iconic than Mr. Photograph himself?
Canada's proudest our export.
Chad hands Kroger. Down.
And yeah. I appreciate you guys' support because he got sort of like bullied in a way that was a little unfair. Right?
Yeah, it's bullshit. Yeah. Their music's great.
Fuck yeah, we're honestly trying to normalize it because I think that's one thing that everyone's going to look back on and be like, yo, I was kind of an asshole about Nickelback. Like, look, I'm not saying they're Frank Ocean. I'm not saying they're like
you know
Bob
funny,
Dylan.
You know
what's
funny? But when that kind of like the cultural thing was like, Nickelback sucks. Like I was always like, yo, I like their music.
Yeah.
Well, and it just also turned into like the laziest, most low-hanging fruit joke.
Yeah. No, for real.
Yeah. Literally.
Yeah.
And, it was a sign of a really unfunny person.
Yeah. And
like,
the joke is almost a compliment in a way because you couldn't frame that joke around someone that hasn't had success.
Exactly.
Yeah. You know it's what I mean? Oh, we're shitting on you for your like number one record.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah. It's like who's the most successful band I can find that's slightly corny. And then I'll make the joke about them because I noticed that all shifted to Imagine Dragons now, and like I'm not by no means not like the number one fan, but I think they're like they write good songs.
Yeah, they
like,
have good stuff.
I think the hate for it's kind of not fair.
They're doing something right.
That's a great comparison. Imagine Dragons now has that Scarlet Letter.
Yeah. Like, yeah. I don't think it's fair.
Like, yeah.
It's
and then I don't back and then it. In a few years somebody will look back and be like, you know, they're
number
and
one.
And then it's us.
Number one, ESPN.
You fucking body guys, like stupid idiots.
Yeah. I mean, dude, it's like everything. It just changes with the times. Like, I remember a couple years ago, the corniest possible thing was like all those old dudes, you know, that were like in emo bands. And now the coolest thing ever is like Travis Barker being on your record, you know?
Yeah.
So it just makes you realize all of this shit is a cycle.
It's circular. It's like a carousel. You pay the quarter, you get on the horse. It goes up and down and around. Circular, circle, with the music, the flow. All good things.
Last question for the audience at Dorfman.Tim asks, when are you at your happiest?
When are we what?
At your happiest.
Shows.
Shows. Yeah. Like I could be like viciously, viciously hungover. And like, I'm like 5 minutes before the set being like, I can't go on. Like this is, this is impossible. And then like, I'll get on stage and like, you just like feel the energy. It like smacks you in the face.
I like
from the
crowd. Photosynthesis analogy.
Yeah. There. Like literally the energy from the crowd is like a wave and it comes and just hits you in the face. And then it's like, adrenaline.
Yeah. There's something absolutely electric about going to a new city. It can be a city that, you know, is like the shittiest city on the planet, but there's just something so cool about it's new, it's interesting. Mm-hmm. I'm like soaking this all in, and there's all these millions of, you know, not millions, but new people that you're meeting. There's just something so exciting that just makes every day different from each other. And that's what's really special.
Well, you're never going to be bored, dude. Just got to keep touring. All right. How big's Andrew's dick?
I don't know.
Yeah.
You've seen it.
I try not to look.
No, we always end up in a situation like, let's say it's right after a show. There's one bathroom and you got to piss, so you just go both go piss in the same toilet.
Yeah.
So there might have been some accidental sneaks.
That's
fine.
Nothing wrong. Cross.
I would assume he's doing all right though.
Yeah, I would too.
Thank you. I really appreciate that.
Max's dick's bigger than mine.
Yeah, I know you guys would see each other's brothers. Yeah, it's different, but we're not brothers. We're brothers by trade rather than family.
I know Gary's dick better than yours.
Okay.
Wow.
That little prick.
Wow, this just added a new element to the room.
Yeah, that'll be a good soundbite. All right, last thing we'll run through really fast. Word association with EDM artists. We can give you EDM artists. You can say a quick story. You can say one word. You can say a pass or whatever. Ready? It's going to go really fast. Avicii.
Goat.
Inspiration.
Good. Tiesto.
Degenerate in the best way.
he's like our big brother that we never had.
Who's like the EDM villain?
Is there a dickhead?
Yeah. People have their moments, of course. You know, no one's perfect. I'm sure we've had our moments too. But there's no one that you're actually like, that guy's a bona fide asshole.
I feel like everyone realizes that it's an all boats rise situation.
I mean, kind of.
It's it's not a zero sum game, right? I mean, it's not like you get a.
There's a little bit of that. There's a little bit of that. But like, nobody's like, there's nobody I can like literally say right now that I'm like, this guy's a fucking prick. Like, all DJs are kind of like wusses. Like, it's like, you know what I mean? It's like, what's DJ beef? It's like,
hilarious.
Fuck you. You like copied my song, asshole. Like,
let's make DJ a diss track.
Yeah. Oons, oons, oons. Yeah.
Like, it's the corniest shit ever. So I'm glad that every DJ gets the memo that just support each other, you know, be good and kind to one another. And like you said, all boats rise.
Steve Aoki.
Not a degenerate. He doesn't drink.
No.
Interesting.
No, but he's also a very nice dude too. Like
Hibachi King.
Benihana.
All right, Marshmallow.
OG.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We went on one of our first tours with him.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Really
Again,
good dude.
Amazing.
And you're about really? To go on one of your next tours with DJ Press Play.
Exactly.
The next. Yeah. If we can get this DJ. Legal situation.
Yeah. If we can iron this thing out. Well, yeah. Yeah, speaking
have
of.
Have you ever worn the marshmallow mask?
Yeah. Yeah.
How is
heavy.
It?
It's
is it heavy.
It's like molded to his head. So when you put it on, it's like kind of awkward, but like. Yeah, it's like I would not.
Yeah,
I would not be stoked.
He has got a fan.
I would not be stoked to play.
Yeah, he has two versions. He has one that's just kind of like a cast that just you know you put on like a normal mask, but then the real heavy duty version has an air conditioner unit and it lights. That one is so heavy that it's got like a compresses.
It's got like a massive like cord coming out of the back of it.
Yeah, we'll get you guys. We actually had Marshmallow's guy make DJ Press Play his mask.
Oh.
Oh, really?
He wasn't the first to do that, right? Another Canadian
Deadmau5. Yeah. Did they all go to the same guy?
There is a very small community of these custom DJ mask builders.
Cool.
Interesting community.
But I'm curious to have you guys try it on because I want to see if you think
how it compares to the Mellow one. Yeah, I'm curious to try it out.
All right, DJ Press Play.
Asshole.
He's the real villain of the EDM.
Yeah. Fuck that guy. Yeah, get ready for the cease and desist.
Yeah, yes. Yeah.
Yeah, we should address the controversy. Ecstasy has been accused of being a ripoff of Love No More.
Wait, is that a legit controversy?
I can hear.
Do you want to hear my hot take on it?
I can hear the similarities.
Do you want to hear my hot take on it? I think it is.
Yeah, we were talking to our legal team about what options we have with DJ Press Play because honestly, Ecstasy sounds really close to Love No More. We had a musicologist look at it. So,
whoa.
DJ Press Play, I got something to tell you. We might be coming for you.
Welcome to the Thunder.
All right, call our lawyer.
We'll have to call Gary. He's way out of his league.
Not
this
Gary.
No, no.
My
there's two Garys.
Yeah. Two Garys.
Duke is going to bail you out.
Right. How about our last one on the list, Paris Hilton?
Actually, the nicest.
That actually ties. Yeah. That
I think
actually
you thought we were gonna roast her. She's super nice.
Yeah, that ties back into Tomorrowland because we were coming off the stage and we were like all complete adrenaline, like, oh my god, we just played this crazy show. And I'm like seeing her come up the stairs, but I didn't realize. I'm like, who is this girl with this like crazy outfit on right now? And then after we realized it was Paris Hilton, and we're like, oh my god, that was Paris. And then when she was done, she like came backstage, and then I was already like lit at that point.
Yeah.
And I was like, let's go. And then she like started drinking champagne with us, and we were chilling with her and like firing it up.
Champagne with Paris Hilton, tequila with JWoww. These are epic.
Now beers with Friday beers. Let's go.
That's it. All right. Last thing we do before we go, we're gonna do a little banana boat situation.
Are you guys familiar with the famed banana boat picture with LeBron Gabriel?
Yes.
Yeah.
So you guys are on one of those inflatable banana boats. You are being piloted, driven, dragged by a motorboat. Mm-hmm. And you get to choose who is driving the boat and the three other people on the banana boat with you. And
so we get to pick four people in total.
You two and each.
You can do
each.
Separate ones.
And they can be they can be fictional. They can dead be or dead or alive.
Oh,
they can be somebody you know, et cetera. Yeah. They can be anybody.
Anybody.
Should we do it as a collective?
You could do
you
one.
You can.
Let's do it as a collective.
Yeah, it's a collective.
You guys have been good at that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Driving the boat. Let's start there.
I feel like we should have a good driver. Therefore, we would have to pick someone from F1.
Ooh.
And they're playboys, too. They have fun, so it'd be good company.
I like your logic.
So,
this is a great...
So, let's do... For driver,
Michael
do Michael...
Michael Schumacher?
Yeah. At his peak. Michael Schumacher.
All right.
Peak Schumacher?
We're going fast in the boat.
Your guys' teamwork is really
We're hitting some serious waves here.
And then for the more party passenger, I'd like Wilt Chamberlain, please.
Oh, dude. Great.
Wow.
I feel like Leo should be on that boat.
Okay, and then we'll do Leo as well. So Leo and Wilt will party.
Leo DiCaprio.
Which era? Modern Leo or?
Titanic Leo, probably?
Yeah, Titanic. Because I feel like right after that, he was like...
That was the answer
Max
wanted to hear.
Yeah.
I would actually prefer a little later stage Leo.
Really?
Because I would like to hear the Titanic stories. So maybe Departed Leo. So
we'll do Departed Leo. Let's do Departed Leo.
Do this for your own banana. Yeah, okay. Yeah.
And then if we get one more, we have to round it out with Harry Styles for sure.
Iconic, dude.
This is
iconic. Talk about dream collaborator then. Harry Styles.
Oh yeah,
a song
yeah.
With
but
him.
The thing is, his music's so good where it almost feels like he would never do a dance track.
To me, he's Prince. He's like Prince.
Yeah, he is like a modern day Prince
to that generation.
He is.
For absolute icon in many respects. Okay, we're gonna make a little Photoshop with that banana boat for you guys.
Nice.
And then we'll put
I
it
love
out.
That.
That's amazing.
It, and then you guys can. We're also gonna do. We keep forgetting to do this, but we're gonna make you Almost Friday shirts. So we're gonna get whatever picture of you guys that you both want, and we'll have Almost Friday on it, and we'll post it to promote this. And you
guys
can
wear. That's
amazing.
We gotta find a really ridiculous picture
of us.
Yeah.
Yeah. Whatever picture that you need, we'll do it.
Okay. Perfect.
All right. guys.
You guys are incredible.
We made it through.
That was awesome.
Andrew and Joe.
We did it. Thank you.
You guys are beasts. Well, cheers again. Thank you for joining us, Friday Beers Podcast.
Thank you for having
us.
We can't wait. And if you're listening to this, come see us play. I can guarantee one thing. There will be beers consumed.
Yes. Ooh. All right, guys.
Vegas, baby.
Cheers. Beautiful. Bye.